She's all the way on the other side of the world right now covering the Olympic Games for Sportsnet.ca. We say, it's good afternoon now to Christina Rutherford, Sportsnet.ca's Christina Rutherford. Hey, Christina, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks. How are you guys?
We are great. Thanks for jumping on tonight and today for you. What's so far, and is this your first Olympic Games? Is it your second? What's your personal experience been so far over there?
It's been great so far. This is actually my third Winter Games. I was in Vancouver and Sochi. I know, veteran. I know I sound seven, but I'm actually much older. So far, so good. I mean, from a media standpoint, it's certainly been a lot smoother than it was in Russia when people didn't have shower curtains, toilets. There were a range of problems from that perspective. So everything's been quite smooth here. And in terms of the fans, they've really brought the noise so far. So, yeah, it's been great so far.
What are the facilities like? Because I know everybody was saying those issues in Sochi, but apparently the facilities were unbelievable. How do the facilities match up in Pyeongchang compared to Sochi?
So I've been to, so far, curling and figure skating, and they're both, you know, pretty breathtaking venues. The Olympic Stadium last night was also really nice. I have no idea what their plans are for that after, because it didn't really look big enough to accommodate, I guess, even a soccer field, so not sure what they're using that for. And it also does have a serious wind problem. Like, the wind was just whistling through there. So even if you were wearing three pairs of pants, you might have been a little cold.
Or no shirt.
And yet, I'm sure you saw the guy from Tonga.
Yeah. Right?
That was the highlight for me. I mean, yeah, he marches in. I'm pretty sure he greased up his chest.
He did.
Well, he was oiled up.
Wearing flip-flops. It was amazing. That was definitely the highlight for me. Despite the millions of dollars they spent on everything else, that was the best part.
You said you got a chance to take in some curling. Did you check out the mixed pairs curling? It just seems weird saying that.
Yes.
Mixed pairs curling. But it's legit.
It is. I think, actually, it's going to get pretty popular after these games because it is so much faster paced.
Mm.
And I know that the athletes are curling twice a day for the most part. And we've got a couple, from the Canadian standpoint, we've got a couple Olympic gold medalists representing Canada in that event, which is pretty exciting. And Caitlin Laws, who won 4 years ago, along with Jennifer Jones, and Johnny Moe, who won, I guess, 8 years ago with Tevin Martin. So Canada's definitely well represented. And as I said, the crowds there have been really good, despite the fact that, from what I've heard, curling is not the biggest sport here, but they seem to be cheering at the right point, so they've learned it. But yeah, it's a little different from your conventional curling in that they start with two stones already in place, and there's obviously two players, so it's a lot faster paced. I quite like it.
What's been the crowds like? You talk about the crowds cheering at the right spot. Have the people been coming out to watch the events that you've been at?
Yeah, absolutely. The figure skating yesterday, it was the start of the team event, so we saw the men's short program and the pairs short program as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was well attended. I mean, it wasn't a full house, but there was a lot of figure skating is such a cool sport, I think, to watch in terms of all the pageantry that goes on and the amount of stuff they throw on the ice after, like flowers and stuffed animals and random stuff. It was a really good crowd yesterday, for sure.
Just to follow up on that figure skating real quick, they're allowing them to skate to music with lyrics for the first time ever. Does that present a problem or a distraction for anybody?
So I don't even know that we asked the athletes about that, but I definitely enjoyed it. I mean, Patrick Chan yesterday, he did not have the hottest start. He fell twice on his opening jump and on his third jump on a triple axel and on a quad earlier. But he was skating to Dust in the Wind, and I found it quite enjoyable. Mm. The athletes haven't really talked about that. I think, obviously, they've been training to music all the time. I don't know that it would be a distraction for them. The only real concern that was brought up, at least yesterday, was the fact that some of the figure skating is starting at 10 a.m., which is a lot earlier than they're used to competing. So for Patrick Sheehan, he said that meant waking up, you know, in the fives and hammering down some breakfast and trying to train but not doing any quads because he didn't want to be tired for the competition. So that took some getting used to, certainly.
Christina, was hearing the Paul Anka version of Wonderwall as tremendous in person as it was watching it on television?
I was kind of confused about it, to be honest. Yeah, there were a lot of questions, you know?
Yeah.
That was the highlight musically, definitely. And there was also, during the intermission, there was some singing happening in the crowd. Like, they brought in some, I assume they were professionals. It wasn't K-pop, unfortunately. But, yeah, it was definitely a spectacle. I'm covering a fair bit of figure skating here, so I'm looking forward to the days ahead for sure.
Christina Rutherford, sportsnet.ca is Christina Rutherford, all across the globe in Pyeongchang right now at the Winter Olympics. You talk about Patrick Chan, and obviously we saw the disappointment he had in Sochi. And it was doubly disappointment, Christina. I don't know if you were around a television, but they had the Canadian men's hockey team on, and then Patrick Chan's final skate in another window on the TV at the same time, and then you saw Patrick Chan falter, wins a silver medal. Mm. Obviously, the American Nathan Chen's the favorite to win gold medal with his program where he hits five quads, which is unprecedented in figure skating. What is the realistic expectation for Patrick Chan these Olympics?
It's a good question. I mean, obviously, he came into last Olympics. He was three-time reigning world champion. As you mentioned, like, he was expected to win gold, and he didn't. He faltered in his long program, and he almost quit after that. I mean, he talked about how he took a year away, and he really reevaluated why he was still skating. And in the last 2 years at the World Championships, he's come fifth. He hasn't been winning medals, and he said, kind of made him, it forced him to really think about, you know, why am I skating? I'm not winning the hardware anymore like he used to, right? And I think a medal for Patrick Chan at these games would be, I wouldn't call it a total surprise, but it would be quite an accomplishment based on just how he's been skating recently. And he had a bit of a rough season. He made a coaching change just 3 months ago. So his new coaches, Ravi Walia, who also coaches Caitlin Osman, who's got a good shot at a medal on the women's side. So Ravi mentioned that Patrick has been skating really well in training, that he was surprised to see him fall a couple times in that first skate, and he expects him to bounce back. But I think certainly, I expect Patrick to be in contention for a medal, despite the fact you mentioned the American's favorite. There's also two Japanese skaters that are the reigning world gold and silver medalists. So it's a tough field, but you have to think experience is going to help them. Although in chatting with a couple of the figure skating reporters yesterday, they said at 27 years old, it's just tougher to contort your body and move your body in the air like that. I don't know. So we'll see what happens.
I wanted to ask you real quick, Christina, about something that happened a day or so ago with between some members of the Russian team and some members of the Canadian team. Now, they're not really saying what went down, so I need some inside scoop here. What the heck happened?
Oh, boy.
Was it a food fight?
Yeah, that is it. I hope so. I hope it was a food fight involving steroid abuse, but I have no idea. So it was funny. I was at that press conference. So the COC held this press conference, and of course, to talk about the days ahead and all the medal potential that Canada has, mm-hmm. biggest, strongest team, and they did talk about that. And then a New York Times reporter brought up that in a briefing with the Olympic Athletes of Russia Federation, or whatever we're calling that, mm-hmm. It was brought up that there was some sort of altercation in a cafeteria involving a Canadian coach and a Russian, and that Canada had, of course, apologized, because that's what we do. And at the presser, members of the COC were giving zero details. They were saying absurd things like, we have no idea what happened, but of course we took it seriously and we apologized, which makes zero sense. So yeah, you can assume that food was flung and people were yelling about steroids.
So
no, I have no idea.
There's no truth to the rumor that there was a Jell-O incident.
Oh, I hope that's true. I haven't even heard that one. I don't know. I haven't heard anything further. All I know is that it really sounds like Clue, the game. You know, there was a Canadian, a Russian in a cafeteria. There may have been terrible words said. There may have been food thrown. Like, we can make a lot of guesses, but all we know for sure is that Canada apologized.
Of course they did. And hopefully nobody got smoked in the head with the candlestick holder. Christina, I have to ask you, I think we in English-speaking Canada don't realize what a star Alex Harvey actually is in the province of Quebec. Is he one of the biggest stars at this game we don't talk enough about?
I think so, for sure. And considering that sport and how tough it is and how filled it is with cheating, the fact that he can still win and be a top contender is remarkable. And I think for sure Alex Harvey is a guy to watch here. I'm really interested to see how he does. I think he competes in a couple of days. The schedule is a little bit hazy. But, definitely one to watch. And I agree with you. He doesn't get talked about enough. And luckily, we at Sportsnet.ca have a big feature on him running in the coming days, so everybody can learn more about him.
Well done on the plug. Christina, is cross country skiing the one sport in the Winter Olympics that is very comparable to when we watch track and field, like the distance running? Because a lot of countries are able to do it because it's the simplest discipline, but it takes the amount of endurance and technique, and it's critical. Is that kind of the parallel to basically distance running when you look at cross country skiing, and that's why it's so incredibly difficult to win a medal in that sport?
Yeah, I think that's a really good comparison. Like, you think of the marathon and how tough that is and how you can't really see at the end of that race. Maybe you can feel your legs way too much. I think that's similar to what those cross-country skiers go through, you know. I remember Alex talking about in Sochi, the end of the race was just this massive hill. And it was just a test of endurance that no human being should actually have at that point in like a 50 kilometer race. You know, think of how long that is, 50 kilometers. That's insane.
Right. Definitely
the marathon of these games. Exactly.
Christina, it looks like women's hockey is getting underway tomorrow underway. Let's just call it what it is. They're making their countdown towards the final. I mean, the lack of competitiveness in women's hockey after 20 some odd years of playing at the international level with world championships and Olympics. Is it hard to go out and watch these games considering that all we're basically waiting for is Canada versus the USA?
So what I like about this year's tournament is there's a ton of intrigue around this Korean team, right? Because we've got the North and the South combining, which to me is absurd on a lot of levels. I mean, first the political level, but secondly the fact that like a week before the Olympics, you decide that you're going to combine your teams. Can you imagine training for something for however many years and then suddenly you bring on these other players and you have to kind of develop that chemistry? Yeah. But I also think, yes, it's always Canada and the U.S. And, of course, that's what everybody expects. That's certainly what I expect. But Finland is getting a lot closer. They beat Canada at the World Championships, I think it was 2 years ago. They've got Nora Ratti in net who can absolutely steal a game. So, as I said, I do anticipate that North American rivalry in the final, and it's going to be an awesome game. You probably remember 4 years ago in Sochi. That's, I think, absolutely the best hockey game I've ever seen live. Just incredible, that Canadian comeback. And, of course, Marie-Philippe Poulin, who's going to captain the team this time around, scores the winner and the goal to force overtime. I'm excited about the tournament. And as I said, I think there's more intrigue around it just because of that Korea factor.
Real quick, I wanted to get your prognostication skills here. I've heard anywhere from 28 to 31 medals for Canada. I mean, this is the biggest team I think it's the biggest team we've ever sent.
Yes,
is that a realistic shot? 31 medals in total?
I've heard 33 they have a legit
33?
Shot.
33?
Right.
Wow. That's a lot.
Oh, my goodness. I think it is realistic. I mean, you consider there's six new events here. In Vancouver, Canada won, I think it was 26 medals. So that's the title. That's the most ever at a Winter Games. But yeah, I feel like it could happen. We've got a ton of contenders. even looking good, you know, after, I keep saying we, Canada is even looking good after day one. You know, we've got Mikhail Kingsbury, who seems like a shoe-in to win gold in moguls. Mm-hmm. And on the women's side, we had Andy Noakes. She qualified second overall. And, of course, Justine Dufour-Lapointe, the reigning Olympic gold medalist, qualified fourth. So that's a potential three medals in that event alone. There's a lot of contenders. You know, Mark McMorris.
Yeah.
Lots of curling potential. Hockey. I mean, yeah, 30s. I feel like Canada could hit 30s. We'll see.
And you haven't even mentioned even short track speed skating, which Canada usually does very well in as well. Christina Rutherford.
Right?
Absolutely. She's across the globe in Pyeongchang at the Olympics. Christina, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for doing this.
For sure. Thanks for having me.